please have my laptop on the screen?
Oh, yes.
Everything comes down to this moment. Allyson Felix now starting to pull away.
There she goes! Katie Ledecky smashes her own world record.
Nobody doesn't like Simone.
This has been her destiny all along.
Have you watched the Olympic Games?
Yes.
Did you enjoy that one? Today is the last day. It's almost done. I think it's done. I have heard so many, a few of our church members stayed up late watching games. And some of them posted on their Facebook, gold medal, gold, right? By the way, Lynn's granddaughter, Haley, she won the gold medal in junior Olympics. It's so amazing. It's so amazing. So proud of her. That's her. Haley. So thousands of sport players, they play games in honor and glory to their countries. There are winning teams with victory and the agony of the teams on the other hand. And because of the COVID, it's much smaller, but the Olympic is a global festival, and today is the last day. And you know what? There are so many sports metaphors in the Bible. There are so many, especially some apostles. They speak some sports metaphors of their time to teach us about the Christian life. So ancient Olympics, it started in 776 before Christ. In Greece, the cities of Greece and Sparta, they fought for years. And both cities, they were so tired of the war. So they wanted to stop the war. But they didn't know how to stop it. So Greece, they suggested having a festival. That was the Olympic game. And actually, there was only one game running about 200 yards. That's one game. So there were many people, a group of runners who came from different city-states in the Greek world, and they were competing for honor for their city-state. And the first place was Olympia. So this became noticed as the Olympic. So we don't really pay attention to the, not all the people pay attention to the Olympics because we have so many professional baseball, football, basketball, ice hockey, and some others. And we also have many kinds of entertainment, but long time ago, in the ancient world, people didn't have much fun. So this Olympic was a really, really big deal. And there were some other games in their time, and the second biggest game, that was the Isthmian game. The Isthmian game took place in Isthmus in Greece, and it was also a big game. It took place about 60 miles east side of Olympia, which was very close to Corinth. Corinth at the time, in Paul's time, a mega city in Greek, like Chicago in our time. Isthmus was a suburb area. It was only in 4 miles from Corinth. So here is the map. You can see Olympia and Corinth, the big mega city, and Isthmus. So you know the city, Corinth. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love never ends. And now faith, hope, and love abide. And the greatest of these is love. Even the people who don't go to church, they have heard it. They know it. It is in the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is Apostle Paul's letter to the people in Corinth. So in his time, the Olympic was the biggest game every 4 years, an Isthmian game, the second biggest game once the other year in Corinth area. The city of Corinth, that was critical. You have heard so many times in the Bible, because Paul, he planted a church there. And most of the time, he planted church many places, and he stayed there for a few weeks or a couple of months, and he moved on. But he remained in Corinth for 18 months. For 1.5 years, he pastored the church there, and they were so important to him. And he wrote at least 4 letters to the people in Corinth. So we have 3 of them in the Bible. We have 1st and the 2nd Corinthian. But second one, the second epistle to the Corinthian, that is made of 2 letters. And the first one is missing. So at least he wrote 4 letters to the people in Corinth. More than any other church, and he spent more time there than any other churches, only second to the church in Ephesus. The Isthmian game, it was a big deal. It was a big deal in the state, and it is clear they knew it, and everybody placed some part. And it seems clear, Paul, Apostle Paul, he enjoyed the game. And I think he's a big fan. And he used many sports metaphors in his letter, such as races, athlete, and competing for the prize. And he drew upon these metaphors so that people in his time would clearly understand. And he said, "Do you not know? In a race, the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things." They do it. They do it to receive a perishable garland, but we, an imperishable one. So we see that he draws upon the races. It is like him saying, this has something to do with our life. This has something to do with our Christian life. And he's comparing how we ought to be approaching the Christian spiritual life with how the runners approach the race. So I have been thinking about the competition. You know, I am kind of competitive. Some of you know that, but yeah, not in the church. In the church, no. No competition. That's what I learned. In the church, no. But outside the church, oh yeah. I am very much competitive. There is a group of pastors who do sometimes a competition on how many steps you make. Yeah, Jin Moshi knows how I am competitive. When we do the competition, you know what? I check every day, okay, how many steps I make this day? Oh, who's behind me? Who's before me? Oh, whenever I see somebody before me, okay, I gotta walk more. I gotta do more. And you see me all the way up, right? I think competition. But the competition that the athletes make for the game, that'll be much more intensive, much more. I once watched a documentary film about the Olympic Game athletes' life, how they prepare the game. It is all about their time commitment, emotional commitment, and physical commitment. they sacrifice everything, everything in their lives for the games. That helps me understand what Paul was trying to teach us, trying to teach the people in Corinth. It is not something we casually approach faith. We are all in. We have a single-minded focus. This is not something we do sort of nice to add in our life. This becomes our focus, the focus of our lives. We sacrifice other things in order to pursue this race God has set before us. That is what Apostle Paul is saying to the people in Corinth. As we are running this race, one of the things that I want to encourage all of us, it is, when you get up, simply start with pray to God, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Use me today and guide me today and help me bring love, peace, justice, and compassion to the people around me and give glory to you today. Let me know what you want me to do today. And of course, we say in the night, God, thank you. Thank you for your presence today. If I miss doing something, God, please remind me and encourage me to do that tomorrow. God, help me to live my life tomorrow and help me bless your people. That needs to be the rhythm of our life. That needs to be the rhythm of our Christian life. That is what race looks like. As we are using sports metaphor, let's think about a team sport. How about football? Because many of you love football. So how many of you are Packers fan? Oh, yes. What about Bears? Oh, okay. What about the others? Some other, right? I know Andy was a quarterback years ago, but not everyone is a quarterback. Some people, a tailback, wide receiver, linebacker, or backs, but they are all in one team playing the game together. What about the Olympics? Not everyone is a runner. Some people are really fast, but some people are great swimmers. Some people are great shooters, and some can ride a horse, and there are so many people in different events. What binds them together, it is these people. They are seeking this, they are pursuing this with everything they have to win the game. And this is the game we have. This is the same as our Christian life. There are so many different gifts we have, and your gift may not be the same as your friend. Their gift may not be the same as mine. We may take a different part of the game, but we are all in the same game. We all seek to give glory to God and use our gift to bless others. And we are meant to work together, and none of us is better than others, and none of us is less than others. And we have so many ministries we are doing in our church, and I want to see that as one team. One team. And it is not just about the ministry we are doing in the church. It is about our life. Our life. What we do for a living, and what we do for fun, what we do for community. Saint Francis of Assisi, he committed his life to God and put his trust in God. And he ran a race, his race. And he gave up everything he had to serve the poor. And there is a great story about him. He was in a monastery, a group, and he was the head of the group. And he loved to cook. One day he was peeling potatoes. Just imagine that, head of the group, peeling the potato and preparing the dinner for the people. And in that moment, he realized, oh, I give glory to God by peeling the potatoes. And he prayed, God, in my peeling of these potatoes, I give glory to you, God, and I bless my fellow monks. That needs to be our rhythm, the rhythm of our life. Some people may say, I love my job. That is my calling. I feel so good. I know I'm good and I'm working. That's good. But there are so many people say, I don't feel joy, especially in this season. I don't feel joy. I'm just doing for a living. But for Francis of Assisi, we learn whatever we are doing, we have a chance to bless others and give glory to God. We have a chance to do the ministry in whatever we do. In planting corns and soybeans, you may give glory to God. By teaching kids at school, you may give glory to God and bless others. If you are working at McDonald's or Starbucks, you can still give glory to God. When you handle a cup of tea or coffee, you can smile and bless others. That's your ministry. And I believe this is what we need in our time. Most of us in our church. Now, we are vaccinated, so we enjoy some more in-person meetings. But we make a little bit back step, one more back. Our health team gathered last Thursday and decided to make a step back, recommending many people to wear a mask and maintain a social distance. I don't know how you feel about that. But I felt very frustrated and drained. And I said, again? You know what? I'm like a person, when I drive a long distance, I should know how many miles I need to drive and how long it will take and what time I will arrive. I need to know I'm that kind of person. But again, right? Men's group talked about this yesterday. We all felt like we are running a race. And we thought we are almost there. We almost complete this race. We thought the finish line was right in front of us at the corner. We felt relieved and excited. But somebody say, no, you're not there. Finish line, that's not the finish line, that's the half. You gotta go more. That is what I felt. It brings so much stress. I believe I'm not the only one person. So many of us and people around us. I believe that's why we need to support and pray for one another in this journey. During the week, a couple of our church members asked me, Paul, do you think this pandemic will go away? Oh yes, it will go away soon. But the matter is, we need to walk together. We need to walk together. We need to pray and find a way to run our race together. By our smile, by our little help, for one another, we may have a chance to give glory to God and bless others. And that is the rhythm of our lives, especially in this season. When you do that, when this becomes our mindset and the rhythm of our lives, I believe we are running a right race with God. We are running the race on the right path, and we give glory to God. Amen.